Thank you. It's I really was touched this morning when I came in to the service. With a heart of such gratitude to be a part of such a wonderful family. We may not be a big family or even a mighty family and a rich family or probably are a good-looking family, but we may have a lot of lack here, but what we do have in love is so wonderful. Wow. The Lord began to birth in my spirit this word this morning. So pray, as Dan prayed, that I could deliver what God is speaking to me, because I guess it's getting kind of a routine to always say that this is special time. But with God, every day is special, right? Every new revelation of the Lord empowers us to become something greater than what we were. And even sometimes what we anticipate we could become. But I'm very renewed in my spirit, not simply because we were on a spiritual encounter last week. That was as great as that was. It only reinforced in my own heart the destiny or the purpose of my life. I was especially touched in a little town called Kelowna, Iowa. And I'm not saying this to brag on myself, but it made me realize the importance of the things that we do. We were at a restaurant that was really a world-class restaurant that was opened up by a man from wife from California a few years back in this little town of about 2,000 people. They've got a lot of people in the countryside. We were amazed at the quality of the food. And so we're eating, and this gentleman comes up, puts his hand on my shoulder, happens to be the owner of the restaurant. Turns out he was, I guess, born deaf, and his wife is also. So when he spoke, you know, people that are born deaf have a hard time speaking real clearly, but he managed to say that when he was 12 years old, that I had laid hands on him, 1977 in San Francisco, and it had changed his life. And that really impacted me. And then there was another lady there from Monterrey, Mexico, that came up to me and said that when she was a little girl, I was in Monterrey, Mexico, and I laid hands on her. And she still remembered. And I said, yeah, that's back when they used to call me El Gordo. I said, now they call me the El Flaco El Guapo. El Gordo meant the big one. El Flaco El Guapo means the skinny, handsome one. So I like the new terminology. But it was really impactful that for two people to come up, and not that, you know, I take credit for that, but it's neat to see how God's, the blessing you give to others will last. One couple from Canada came up and 1970-something, I was in Toronto, a young married couple. They'd been married about 3 years, and they desperately wanted to have children. No luck. I gave them some advice, but they said they were already doing that. And so I said, I'm gonna try prayer. So I prayed for them, and 1 month later, she became pregnant with their first of four sons. And they called me up, and they didn't call me up, but I think later they said, how do we turn this off? And so I found this out years later. I was reacquainted with them in the early 2000s when I opened a company in Canada, London, Ontario, where they lived, and became reacquainted with them. And they told me that story. And then about 2001, I was in their home in London, and their oldest son, I prophesied over that he was going to be a pastor. Well, fast forward now to 2017, when they came, they said, guess what? What's his first name? We'll call him Jeremy. Jeremy, and don't tell him this, maybe he'll change his name if he hears a, Jeremy came up, he was a pastor now there in Iowa. And they said he was stuck like in Canada and he wasn't moving forward. And that word released something in his spirit. So that's the power of what you have when you minister, when you speak. So the next time you pray for someone, you might not see a lot happen, but you never know. Later on, you'll hear a great testimony of how God worked through your prayer of faith, because the Lord is always faithful to perform that which is spoken in faith. Just keep that in mind. Romans chapter 8. Let's go there this morning. And the Lord spoke the other day that about, it kind of gave me the title, and I don't know exactly if the message will work to this title or not, so if it doesn't, we'll retitle it. Okay. We are the people. We're the people. And in Romans chapter 8, and let's begin this morning at verse 15. It said that you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We see in this passage the Lord saying that I'm going to connect you once again through Christ to the Father. The beautiful thing about this crying out, Abba, Father, is this uniqueness of understanding the love that God gives us for the Father. Abba, Father, which means, in my definition, our dear Father. Everybody say, my dear Father. The affection that God gives us to the Father. You know, when we look at Christ, and this is what we've been doing a lot here, is looking at the example of Jesus in relationship to the Father. The oneness they shared, the purpose they shared, the destiny. But the greatest thing they shared was the love. The affection that the Father had for the Son and the Son had for the Father's. We see in Malachi in the last days, it said that God's going to restore the hearts of the fathers to the sons. There's going to be a renewal of affection between the sons of God and the Father who's in heaven. And that renewal of affection, though, applies to us as well. That because by love, it says we'll know, they'll know who he is because we have love for one another. And that that we're perfected together in that love. And love is not a simplistic word that we just casually use, but it really denotes something of depth of relationship. When you really love someone, then you give yourself to that person. As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. So when I say I love you, I want to be able to say it to you with the full knowledge of who you are. Because if I say I love you, that's a covenant commitment to you. That means I'm with you now, always, and to the end of the earth. Because love can never be approached from a casual concept. It has to be approached from the depth of what it means to be connected. When you love, you give. When you love, you sacrifice. When you love, you submit. When you love, you bless. When you love, you're long-suffering. When you love, you're gentle. When you love, you're kind. When you love, you're patient. All those things are summed up in that one word. And so the world uses love casually so much so that it means nothing sometimes. We need to go back to the depth and the meaning of what really means to love. I'd almost rather start saying to people, I like you, instead of I love you, until I know them. You see what I'm saying? I like a lot of people. In fact, I like everyone, and I love everyone the way God loves them. But to really know him, for him to really know me is the definition of love. Because that means he's all in for me. And we already know that he's all in for us. For God so loved us first. The love of God is poured out to you and I to constrain us to him. But see, in order for me to love you, I've got to pour my life into you as well. And for you to love me, you pour your life into me. So it's a beautiful thing. And that's what he's saying, that the Lord is saying in this hour that you're going to receive not the spirit of bondage, but not the spirit of fear, but you're going to receive the spirit of adoption. You're going to be brought in to the oneness to the Father that Jesus has. So we by Christ are being connected back to the Father. In verse 29, he says, and that we may know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. See, God is leading you on a path to bring you to the ultimate place of glorification. It's in the nature of God to share his life with you so that you could be conformed to his image. So you can be justified by his blood, be glorified by his resurrection, united with him, the scripture says, in the likeness of his death, but also united in the glory of his resurrection. That's your destiny, is the oneness that you have with him that's creating in you this bond with God that identifies you with him in every aspect of his life. That's what it means to be one with God, is to identify with him. That's why Jesus said, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done in my life. That's why Jesus said, pray, let thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let this, who you are, God, be so imprinted upon us, so identified with you, that we become the reflection of who you are. We're not trying to be God. We're not trying to become God. We're just trying to receive God. Because it's not in our ability to become that. It's in his ability to become that in us. It's what Christ is in you that he's bringing forth. It's never about us. It's always about him. Because as long as you're focused on us, you'll always stumble on us. But when you focus upon him, everything changes for your life. You don't look at yourself in all your frailties and inabilities. And you don't even look to yourself in your own strengths. But you keep looking unto him, the author and the finisher of your faith. That what he's creating in you is greater than what you could ever create in yourself or ever become within yourself. That's the futility of humanity, isn't it? Trying to become something apart from him. It's the futility in so much of the church that we try to become something apart from him. Apart from him, we can do nothing. We're absolutely bankrupt in our pursuit of God apart from the connection we have with him. The moment we separate ourselves from him, the one that chooses to never be separated from us, the moment we choose separation through sin, we limit what God can do through us. What is God's hand short that he cannot save? Nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear? No, but your sin has separated you from your God. And don't regulate that just to some commissions of your flesh, which aren't good, right? But it's more than that. It's more the attitude that you carry, that you do not allow yourself to be separated. But you always keep leaning back to the one that wants to connect you to his headship, that wants to connect you to who he is. Did I read verse 33 yet? Oh, let's do that. Verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who then is it that condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Wow. See, it doesn't cease with him, does it? He's always working on your behalf. He worked before the creation. He worked during the creation. He worked through the creation. He works after the creation on your behalf. The Lord is always working on your behalf because God has a plan for you to bring you as a people into a place called the kingdom of God. A place called the kingdom of God where there is no separation, where there is no trepidation, where there is no fear, where there is no one feels separated from his presence, but we're all fully in the presence of the Lord. And that's what we desperately cry for as the church in this hour. Lord, let the church be that which connects back to the Father so the presence of God can fill the earth. The Lord looks upon us, and sometimes I wonder if he may laugh a little bit of all the games that we play. All the religiosity that we create, all the doctrines that we preach, all the creeds that we uphold, all the traditions that we cherish, when all he's saying is, I don't want all that, I just want you. You're spending a lot of energy trying to get something that I've already given you. You're trying to make something happen when it's already happened. All that you desire, I've already given to you. It's all there for you. Wow. My, my. Woo. Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God making intercession, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Wow. None of that's going to separate you. See, once we're one, there is no separation till death do us part. And even then, it doesn't part. It even gets better. Some people say, well, yeah, I'm one with you conditionally. As long as you make me happy. As long as you don't stir the pot, as long as you don't offend me, as long as you don't blow your bad breath on me, as long as you make me happy, I'm one with you. You're not one with anyone when you have conditions. Oneness was without condition. Yeah, but what if I disagree with you? Well, so what? I may disagree with you. I think God's been thinking we've been disagreeing with him a long time, but he's still one with us. He's still determined to be one with us. Oneness lasts forever. Talking to Justin Daniel, Justin's moving to Houston, but that doesn't bother me. I'm still one with Justin. Amen. Justin, where are you? We're always one. We're one in the Spirit. When you're birthed in the Spirit, you're birthed. There is no abortion allowed. The spirit of abortion is upon the world. By the way, we bind the spirit of abortion. The spirit of abortion is upon the world today to try to stop life before it's ever fully revealed. That's the same spirit in the church to try to stop the church from manifesting the presence of the Lord through division. The Lord is determined to be one with you, and he always works continually to make that happen over time. 24/7, He's always interceding for you. Lord, let them be one with you just as I am one with you. Lord, let them be one with you just as I am one with you. That's what he prayed in John 17, wasn't it? Double time, overtime, God's crying out, Lord, let them be one with you just as I am one with you. Let the glory that you've given me, let that same glory, God, be in them. Ooh, the Lord is crying out for us. Never once does he leave us in that, leave us in the lurch, searching for the answer. The answer has been given to us through Jesus. Amen. Wow. Let's get some more wows. Let's go to chapter 9, verse 25. Are you ready? He also in the book of Hosea. And 2 weeks ago, I preached out of Hosea. I love that stuff. I will call them my people. Everybody say, we're the people. Say, we are the people of the Lord. Wow. Who were not my people. We weren't the people, but we are the people, right? And her beloved, who was not beloved. We're beloved now, even though we weren't beloved. We weren't a very pretty thing to look at before Jesus came into our life. Did you realize that? The wickedness of the heart of humanity is something God can't look at. But Jesus came along through his blood and he made you righteous. He justified you. He conformed you. And he's going to glorify you with him. Wow. Did you know that you were like sheep that were going astray, that now you're all sheep in the pasture? Did you know that your clothes were like scarlet, but now they're like white because of the blood of Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Wow. Everybody just say, thank you, Jesus, for your great redemption. That now we are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. We are those that follow you wherever you goest. We're those, Lord, that follow the Lamb, loving not our own lives. We've been bought with a price. The precious blood of the Lamb of God bought us, redeemed us. Now life is no longer our own, but we are his. Did you know that your life will change dramatically the moment you say, this isn't my life, but his? That changes everything for you. Changes your whole perception of where you're going, what you're doing, how you're becoming. When you just simply give yourself and say, I yield this thing to you. This old carcass that I carry around, it's going to be your carcass from now on. I'm tired of maintaining it myself. Tired of seeking something myself, but Lord, I just want to seek something from you. Because you've got far more to give than I do. Let's read on. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you're not my people. There they will be called the sons of the living God. Wow. The Lord is making us his sons. Jesus was the first begotten among many sons that are coming to his glory. They're being transformed into his image. Some would say, well, are you talking about our bodies are going to be transformed and we're going to be... No, I'm not talking about that. Yeah, that's going to happen. It is coming. And what I'm talking about is this transformation of the heart, the transformation of the will, the transformation of the mind. That even though we walk in a human carcass, we become in our nature like Christ. Manifesting the heart of who he is to the world around us. It's dying. Liberation is coming. A couple of quick things. This is called the bonus section. I like the bonus section. I just like bonuses, period, right? How many like bonuses, period? Let me get excited. Your boss gives you a bonus. Well, the preacher is giving you a bonus. Okay. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things. to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We are a body that's connected to his headship. Jesus Christ is the head of this body. Pastor, I thought you were the head of it. No, I'm not the head of it. I'm following the head. Amen. I'm just a poor lost shepherd boy that has nowhere to go unless there's a great shepherd comes. I have nowhere to lead unless the shepherd of shepherds comes. Hallelujah. So we are a body connected to the headship of Christ. Verse 15 says that, where am I? Chapter 2? What chapter? Okay. Chapter 2, verse 16. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. So we're a body. It says we're one body. Everybody say one body. So we're a body connected to the head, but we're also a body connected to one another. Then Corinthians tells us that we are the body of Christ. And some are hands and some are fingers and some are ears and some are noses and some are feet and some are arms and some are legs and some are all kinds of things. But we're all one body with different functions. We're not here to become the same, but we're here to walk together as a people, as an expression of the Lord. If we were all like me, it would be imbalanced. And Sue, we'd be very imbalanced if you were all like me. Thank God you're not like me. You're like you. Everybody say, I'm glad to be me, not you. Okay? We're not trying to become one another. We are one another. You, no matter who you are, is as essential as anyone here to the other person. We are the body of Christ. And that's why it becomes inordinate when we assemble in what we call churches and we have no idea who anyone else is. The only way we become ordinate is we become so integrated together in unity that we begin to understand one another and how we flow with each other to become the pure expression of God upon the earth. So the longer that we isolate ourselves from this cry of God that created us, oneness, the further we separate from that vision of what that is, the less effective we are in our ability to minister together. Amen. It's never about how big we are. It's about how connected we are. Because it's through the connection, it's through the unity that creation happens. If we want to see the true birthing of salvation upon the earth in massive waves, it'll be because we've joined ourselves together with him as the head, and we together as the body. It was funny how that God took 12. By all measures, you see, Jesus was an absolute failure in ministry. Spent 3.5 years ministering to 12 people, basically. He ministered to thousands, but none of those thousands stayed with him. They were only there for the miracles. It's easy to get people when you have miracles, but it's hard to get people when you start eating the flesh and drinking the blood. Because then that's when your real unity comes. It's easy to get a crowd, but it's hard to get oneness. There's a reason why, because oneness is the only potent thing that God is looking for upon the earth, because out of that, out of the few will come many. Out of the union will come fruit. So he took the 12. Oh, look at Jesus, failed 3.5 years, and he has 12 people, and it ends up that even them, that they denied him on the cross. Yet out of that 12 came 120. Out of the 120 came 3,000. Out of 3,000, the world was turned upside down. It's all birthed out of the spirit of connection. Not of programs, not of religion, not of doctrine, not of dogma, not of any of the things that we as man try to create to make it happen. We'll never make it happen. We'll never achieve it. It'll only happen organically through connection. I hate speaking the truth in love. Sometimes it just comes right back on top of me. It's like the Lord saying, get your act together, man. Come on, press into these people more. You know, I'm approaching 70 years old. I'm more intent now, more committed now than probably I've ever been to press into you. I'm going to press into you like crazy. I'm going to love you like crazy. I'm going to determine to be one with you. Even if sometimes you don't want to be one with me, I'm just going to keep bugging you. I'm going to be like Jesus in that sense. I'm just going to keep on interceding for you to be one. Amen? I'm believing this is the hour the kingdom of God suffers violence and violent men are going to seize it by force. We're going to say enough of this game. Let's press into the presence. Let's press into the glory. Let's press into this unity. Let's press into this breakthrough. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2, verse 20. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you're being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. Wow. A temple built by the word of God expressed through the apostles and prophets, with him being the pure example of the cornerstone. One of the things that's really kept me on track the last few years is always going back to the cornerstone. I might get all these thoughts and all these ideas and all these things in my mind, and I always check them. I go back, what was his heart? What was his purpose? What was his will? What was he trying to achieve? Never looking from any other paradigm except that paradigm, the purity of the cornerstone of Jesus. That's where it all began, and that's how it all's created. And the moment we deviate from that, we've missed the point of what God wants us to be. We are being built up, connected to the Father, connected to one another, and the purpose of being built together as a temple of God so that the presence of God can inhabit us. Amen? And the glory of the latter house, the glory of this house, the glory that God has prophesied will be greater, greater than the thing that we've experienced before. One of the dangers when you're getting older is you always think back to the good old days. Oh, back in the days of the charismatic renewal, back in the days of the Jesus movement, back in the days when the glory was poured out, back in the days when the gold came down, back in the days when the feathers happened. And we start living back in the day instead of living for the day. Amen. Because this is a day. This is a day of the Lord. This is a day of his presence. This is a day of the breakthrough. This is a day we're maturing into the place where we're called the sons of God. We've settled the issue in our heart of who we are. We've settled the issue of what we want to become. We've settled the issue that no longer are we here just to get a religious fix, like a heroin addict would get a shot in his arm. We're here to get the living God. Wow, this is preaching. Whew. Ephesians chapter 5. Says, husbands, verse 25, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We are members of his body. We're of his flesh and we're of his bones. Glory. God has said, I am marrying you. And the scripture says, where there was two, now there's one. That's the beauty of marriage. The beauty of relationship is that when you have relationships that are independent of one another, when they get married, they become one together. You're one, Jack, Pat. Amen. When I think of Jack and Pat, I don't think of Pat, then think of Jack. I think of Jack and Pat. I mean, they're one. You take Jack, comma, Pat, you take the comma out, put the two names together, that's Jack Pat. Okay. Sue Bill. All right. We're one. We're one together. And it's not just in a natural marriage, but there's a spiritual union that there's no separation in the unity of marriage. And the beautiful part about marriage is it brings forth fruit. You should. Fruit. Be ye fruitful and multiply, saith the Lord. You see, all this purpose, oh, goodness, look at the time. I'm trying to shorten this up, Ron, but I don't care. Romans chapter 8, did you get those points that we just went over? Connected to the headship, connected to the body. What's the next one? Built as a temple. The fourth one? Married to the Lord. Bone of his bone. Flesh of his flesh. No separation between you and him. Woo. You tired of the wicked one touching you? Get in Christ. The wicked one toucheth him not. Woo! You tired of the devil chasing you around, nipping at your heels like some chihuahua would nip at your heels? Get in Christ, nipping no more. Hallelujah. Are you tired of being scared of your shadow? Get in Christ, no more shadow monsters. Amen. You tired of that monster crawling under your bed and in your closet at night? Just put him in bed with you. You won't have any more problem. Mm-hmm. He'll take care of all that stuff for you. That's Jesus. He just loves coming to your defense. He loves when you invite him in to your heart, into your church, into your home, into your workplace. He just said, what have you been waiting on? I've got the solution. Why you wait so long to invite me in? You've been battling this thing, freaking out, upset, going bonkers. And here I've come as a Prince of Peace. Here I've come as the conqueror of conquerors. Here I've come as the Lord of Lords. Here I've come to take care of all this for you. Just let me come take care of it. Wow. It's simple. Romans 8, and I'll roll this down. This is probably for another message, but I'll make this quick and then maybe I'll expound it later. But that's just a big maybe because you don't know about me. Okay. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Amen. That's a very familiar scripture to us, isn't it? See, what happens in this process of understanding this joining relationship that we have, God is making us to become an instrument in helping release creation from its futility. See, creation was subjected to futility, not willingly. Now, this futility that you've been subjected to, you don't have to put up with one more minute. You don't have to live with the spirit of futility upon you one more minute. In fact, right now, I bind in the name of Jesus the spirit of futility over your life. You're not going to live in futility any longer. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it's your choice to accept that deliverance. I proclaim it. I speak it as an authority of God. I take authority over the spirits that are coming against you to create futility. But it's your choice now if you're going to accept the deliverance. Amen? We break the spirit of futility. We have authority. You have authority over everything that binds you. You have authority to bind it, and you have the authority to loose. And if any two of you agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be done. You have that in you. God is creating a generation of believers who absolutely obtain from the Lord something that's never been obtained before in the history of humanity. There has to be a generation of believers that become aggressively intent upon this breakthrough. As Dale said last week, he said, there's a time that you press into the breakthrough. And it says in Hebrews, it says that we labor to enter in to the rest of God. There therefore remains therefore a rest for the people of the Lord. There's a laboring that takes place within our spirit to break through, because once the breakthrough comes, as hard as the journey may be to find the breakthrough, once the breakthrough comes, the breakout begins to happen. Hallelujah! See, once there's a people that break through in the name of Jesus Christ through the spirit realm, and they penetrate the spirits of darkness upon the world, when we break that spirit because of who we become, for our obedience is complete, then we stand ready to punish. He stands ready to punish all the disobedience in the heavens. Hallelujah. So my obedience is to the oneness of his headship, to the centrality of the lordship of Christ over my life. That's what I'm set on and determined to be. And in that, I become an instrument of deliverance alongside my Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! This generation of believers, these, what he says, Hosea, we the people, you the sons, you are the ones that have been chosen by God in this hour to set the world on fire for Jesus. You're here this morning as a brave soldier. It's almost like I'm reading a teleprompter. You're here this morning as a brave soldier, daring to believe something. You've chosen not to go to the place of Babylon where everybody cries, peace, peace. But you've chosen to come to the place that cries, Lord, let your glory be revealed to us. You've chosen not to take the pathway of easy street and the easy believism and the false believism and the path of religion. You've chosen to take the way of thus saith the Lord God. I commend you for that. It's no easy thing. While all your neighbors go, merrily, merrily, we walk along. You're saying, let thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No playing games in this house. Woo. We're not here to create another religion or another denomination or another movement. We're here to create sons of God. There ain't a movement yet that haven't moved out, but the sons of God abide forever. Amen. Don't get locked in on movements. They don't last. Get locked in on becoming a son. Hallelujah. Woo! I know. Woo! Whoa! My. Lord, let it come. Let it come. Let the presence come. Let the glory come. Let your spirit come. Put on us, Lord, the spirit of Joshua and Caleb. Put on us the spirit, Lord, that brings the children of God out of futility, out of the wilderness, into the promised land. Put on, Lord, in us a heart that will not be separated from who you are, that will not be separated from your purpose and your vision. Put it in us, Lord. Imprint in us, spirit, Lord, something new. Birth in us, oh God, the spirit of the sons. We refuse to accept the lack of that which binds, and we only accept that which brings his presence. For he is the fullness of God upon the earth. In Christ we have been made complete. And let's all stand up together. Hallelujah. Woo. Some say that you're weak, but he says you're strong. Hallelujah. Some say you're stupid, but he will through you confound the wise. Hallelujah. Some say that you are base and that you're put down, but he says that you are glorified together with him. Your futility is an illusion that you should accept no more. The reality is you're complete in Christ. Your failure is a condition that you don't have to tolerate. The reality says that you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, that you're more than victorious in him. Start acting like and being like and declaring like the Son of God that you really are. Amen. For the Son of Sons is leading you. That one that was birthed now is bringing you to birth. Now is bringing you to fulfillment. Now is bringing you to who he is and the triumph victory that he has proclaimed upon the earth. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Lift your hands to the Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh. Woo! Let your glory come, Lord. Man. By the way, we welcome the live stream viewers. Don't forget to tithe. You can press right there on the button. We bless the Lord. We bless the Lord. In all of our hearts, we magnify him. We glorify the Lord. Hallelujah. At the Austin Cathedral, we magnify the Lord. Thank you, Father.
Maturity as sons. We see the focus that you have put your finger on, and we say yes to it.